Hello everybody, Mariner here, and welcome to Net That Haul and another matchup show where we're going to dive in to game week 32. It's all getting a bit tiring. There's no end of people quitting Twitter. There's no end of people getting depressed. I'm burnt out. Gabe's moving house. Surrey is watching the cricket, but we're all here. How are you doing, boys?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Gabe, Chris. Yeah, nice to be back in two consecutive weeks. And we had a cracker last time, and I hope we do have a cracker once again this week as well. Yeah, looking forward to it. Yes.
We'll do our best. Gabe, how are you, man?
I'm tired. It's been my week. The way you're feeling about the FPL season, that's the way I'm feeling about the week because of all the moving. But I am very happy to be here. Really looking forward to this and anticipating this, I think, maybe as much as our viewers today. Let's see what happens.
Just to let people know, we are limited for time today, so we may well not finish the questions off if there's loads at the end, so we'll answer them by Twitter. Gabe's moving house, so Surrey is here to hold the fort. Did you get that one? That's the first one. You'll get the drift. You'll get the drift. So anyway, boys, just to let everybody know what we are. Obviously, we are Net That Haul. We're now on everywhere where you want to pick your pods up from. We are. We're also on YouTube. Please give us a like. Please go subscribe. Please hit the bell for notifications. I think we need to crack on then, boys. So all I will say is, again, if you see the ticker at the bottom, guys watching, please get your questions in early. And the reason is that as we go through the specific matchups, we're going to answer your questions as we go. Captain questions will all be answered in the captain section as well. So hopefully we're not going to be too long. So right, let's crack on. And so let's just get the screen lined up and let's go for it. So if it ever moves, come on, thank you. Right, it's as tired as I am, I think, this computer. So anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to have a look, first of all, at the fixture difficulty. And I'll remember to move the ticker this week. And for the benefit of those who are listening, as always, we will run through the top five and the bottom five from attack and defence with respect to fixture difficulty as of now, which means the last six fixtures, it's taken into account XG conceded, big chances conceded, shots in the box and headers created and conceded. That's how it works. I think you probably all know by now. So let's quickly run through, boys. So attack at the top, Man City, 1.5. Highest, not lowest, Sheffield United. So Manchester City 1.5, Chelsea 1.6, Liverpool 2, West Ham 2.8, Leicester 2.9. And Surrey's already gone. And at the bottom, Sheffield United, surprise, surprise, 5.3, Crystal Palace 5.1, West Brom 4.8, Leeds 4.6, and Fulham 4.4. The first thing I'll say, Gabe, and I've noticed this, I don't know whether you have, Leeds, they're sliding. 17th. And interestingly, and this has been picked up in the Twitter sphere, I think Baka noticed it, Newcastle are finally showing some attacking prowess. What do you reckon about that?
I mean, Miguel Almiron.
Oh, God. Fantastic.
I reckon Miguel Almiron. I mean, and you know, Callum Wilson starting to get healthy. You remember when Callum Wilson got hurt, how Newcastle were starting to surge, and then he got hurt. I mean, it's like the heart of the team got ripped out from them, right? And then they dropped and they were just abject until now. He's showing signs of life again. And the team is showing signs of life again, which is extraordinary for a player that just joined this team, right?
They are. So and Saint-Maximin as well, Surya.
Yes.
Looking lively.
He added so much to the game. I think he came on and he changed the dynamics of the game. I think as much as Wilson is important for Newcastle, I think ASM is also a key, plays a key role in their attack, and he makes things happen. And he literally owned the Burnley defense last week. That was the difference. Yeah.
The other thing I'll say about Leeds really quickly here is Bielsa is changing his styles. I don't know if you notice he's it's less kind of everybody pushing than just throwing everything at the attack, and it's much more reserved. So I don't know if he's maybe conserving their legs. Maybe he saw that, you know, Leeds had a dip in form maybe about a month ago, and I think that's when this change kind of started to happen. So I just watch for Bielsa's tactics because they are evolving, I think, this season.
Okay. Just Sheffield United are at the bottom, only 5.3. We'll come on to defence in a minute where they break the metric, because I've been going on about it all week. But I'm going to put a prediction. Brewster's going to finally get 2 points this week, because I think everybody else is injured.
he's going to double his output.
Brewster's going to double his output this week. I'm convinced. That's the big story. That's the big story for the matchup show this week. Binary Brewster's going to double his output. Oh, my God. Right, anyway, defence. And then this is where I think Surya might come in somewhere here, maybe, perhaps. Chelsea, 1.5 at the top. Liverpool, 2.3. Man City, 2.4 with Brighton. And Man United, 2.6. That's top five. And at the bottom, the broken metric. Sheffield United, 7.2. We're going to have a poll on Twitter. How low can Sheffield United go? The old limbo. How low can you go? That's Sheffield United. That's where they're going, right? My goodness me. Burnley, 5.2. I mentioned this on Tuesday with Nima. That's interesting because they've got Manchester United coming up. Crystal Palace 4.9, Wolves 4.3, and Everton 4. And where are Arsenal? They're 11th. Hold on, what happened, Surya?
But then they do keep do their job of keeping the clean sheet, and they hold on to their clean sheets. If you noticed last week, yeah.
it's quite impressive how Arsenal can hold that clean sheet against Sheffield United, which is the worst attack in the FPR. So, congratulations, I guess.
But were you watching the ball, Surya, throughout the game?
No, I was sitting in the Hall of Shame for the. Not having him in the team.
If people don't know what the joke is, if you just happen to have only stumbled on this show this week, God help you. Check out last week. Check out Gabe's matchup where he destroys
Holding.
And then everybody transferred him out, and then look what happened.
All I can say is that's good coaching by Arteta. I think Arteta probably showed Net that Hall to Holding, and he's like, see, even these schmucks are calling you out for your ball watching, and he learned.
This is not the first time. Remember, you know, look what happened to Ollie Watkins when Lee did what he did.
Exactly.
FPL community, you know, this is what it is, right? They want to put them. They want to put it right. They want to put it right. How many more clean sheets are we going to get? Who is next on the target list? Is it Connor Nosebleed Cody? Is he going to score a goal? Is he going to get over the halfway line?
I think looks by it. I think he's gonna dribble from the halfway and score a worldie.
I mean, look, I'm just going to say one thing about defence. Fulham looked really solid, apart from Areola. What a bloody nightmare that was for me. Yeah. That really grated my gears so badly. Gabe, you said he was crap before, did you? Back in the day. He's played really well this year. I think that was well out of character.
I don't know what's out of character with him. I've been following him for years. You know, he was when he was in Spain, and then he was in France, and then I follow him, and it's like, this is not a good goalkeeper. He never has been. But full credit to him, he has been this season, right? He's been quite good this season. And every time I watch him, I'm waiting for the thing to happen. And it never happened until this game week. And I was a little sad because I was happy for the guy that he seemed to have developed. I hope this was out of character and not the good play that was out of character. So we'll see if he can recover from it, or if, you know, he He had like a Karius happen to him.
It was like hold the back page, wasn't it? Everything was written, and then all of a sudden, bang, hold the back page. Another hold in there, was that? We'll keep this going, me and you. We count how many times we get the word hold into the show.
Well, I think we need to turn it into a drinking game for the viewers.
I'm afraid I'm on tape. Yeah, actually, that's a good idea for anybody who is partial to a drink. Maybe that's a good thing. Every time.
Surya, hold my beer.
If we get... Oh, dear. Right, okay. Right, guys, we're going to have to crack on because we're already...
Let's go. We're just
digressing around holding and everything. I mean, one thing I would say about Fulham, just to finish off, is I wouldn't despair. They're still pretty decent with respect to numbers. The only thing I will say is I think, you know, they're now at the last rites, and I think they're going to have to either go for it, and then when they're gone, then goodness knows what happens. I think they're in a pretty difficult place now. Okay, so let's quickly look at the fixture difficulties. And again, just to explain it, if people want to come to the show, if you're listening, come to the YouTube and pause it on here. And what we're doing is here, we've got between 32 and 37 on the screen. And all we've done is we've just highlighted just a few little points here. I mean, first of all, if we're looking for green, Chelsea, between Chelsea's attack and defence is green. That basically says to me, if we knew which one out of Chilwell and Alonso was due to start, or James, then I would be on them. But I can't be certain. Everton have quite a poor fixture difficulty rank, but look at that matchup against Sheffield United. 3.8.
3.8, yeah.
Everton are crap, according to the FDR. I'm not saying they're crap, but I'm saying the FDR thinks they're crap. And to be honest with you, look at that. So this is... I'm sorry, guys, and I, you know, if there's any Blades fans watching, but this is FPL, and you know, I know it's disappointing that you're going down, and I'm sure you'll bounce back. That said, it's time to target the Blades. Brighton, game week 33, plus 3.6. Spurs, plus 4.2 in 34. Palace, even Palace, plus 2.1. Everton, plus 3.8, and Newcastle, plus 4.2.
Newcastle of all teams. Yeah.
That Brighton fixture could be good for somebody holding that holds Beltman.
It could easily be, yeah. And if you're holding your free hit as well, you know, there's always a chance, right?
Oh my God.
And Liverpool, you know, they're also green now, plus 1.7. You know, they're out of the Champions League now for attack. There's less rotation. My view is lump on. And as for City, well, they're green, but anything to add, boys, or are we all right just to crack on?
No, crack on. That's great.
Right, fair enough. So let's go to the rankings on the horizon. So now let's turn that into rankings. So in other words, if you wanted to target attack or defence, who do you want in your teams? According to the fixture difficulty, okay, in game week, for 32 to 37, excluding 33, obviously Manchester City are top. We know what the problem is. Liverpool second, Spurs third, Chelsea fourth, West Ham fifth, right? And at the bottom, Crystal Palace, West Brom, Sheffield United, Leeds, probably because of those tough fixtures in there, and Fulham. Defensively, from 32 to 37, Liverpool now top. Chelsea second, Man City third, Man United fourth, Spurs fifth, Brighton sixth, just in case you're interested. Sheffield United broken at the bottom, holding on just above them at Crystal Palace. Then Burnley, then West Brom, then Newcastle. Leeds are dropping. Aston Villa are not doing very well either. And Southampton, I think, Gabe, you might have a new section for us. I think they might be honorary members of being on the beach.
Seems like it, yes.
So we'll see what transpires. And I think, Surya, I think, are we starting to get to the point where these fixture difficulties might start to throw some curveballs because of beached teams? Do you think?
Yeah, I don't think, except for one or two teams, I don't think there's still a lot of competition for European places. I think still as deep as goes to Arsenal, teams have aspirations for Europe, and I've never seen the league to be this competitive in the first 10, and credits where it's due. Big Sam is also doing a good job, and maybe that strings up Burnley and Newcastle back into the relegation battle, and I think that's a five horse, and adding to the top 10, it's 15, and then there's five teams in the beat. So it's pretty much, the impact should be less, at least for the next 3-4 weeks is what I would say. So I would still stick to the FDR for another 2-3 weeks until we have clarity. But I don't think Big Sam is letting West Brom down without going for a big fight. And Burnley's a team that we need to look into, because they have been scoring goals, but then they've been losing points awfully a lot. So people have been talking with Newcastle, but maybe it could be a relegation four-end between Fulham, Newcastle, Burnley and West Bromwich Albion. So I don't think there's a lot of teams on the beach. Of course, Crystal Palace is one. So that's the case for pretty much a long lot of seasons before as well. But then I would stick with the FDR. Yeah.
No, I think you're right. But I mean, what we will say...
Sorry, go ahead, Tanner. My fault.
I'll say what I was going to say is, and again, this is Mariner actually saying something about the way I've played in the last few weeks. Sometimes you can get too wrapped up in the stats. Sometimes you've just got to bring a player in. If they're doing well, you've just got to bring them in. I was late on Lingard. I was late on Iheanacho, right? That destroyed me last week. I'm holding on for grim death in the top 20K now. Sorry, Gabe. What did you want to say, mate?
I was going to say, what's interesting is we look at Leicester's fixtures, upcoming fixtures, and if you look on official FPL, they're all green. But if you look at their defensive FDR here, they're mid-table. Despite those seemingly good fixtures, green on official FDR, maybe Leicester defense isn't. I mean, according to the FDR, that's not the best place to invest.
No.
I mean, even the attack as well, right? The attack is their 10th in attack. So Leicester could be a trap outside of Iheanacho, which you just mentioned, of course.
It's possible. I mean, look, I'm not going to go through game week 33 in any great detail. We'll do that next week. But just to let you know, Brighton top both attack and defence next week. Who are they playing? Fairly obvious, isn't it? But no, I mean, you know, Brighton are doing very, very high in the attack. Leicester, Chelsea, Liverpool, Wolves. And at the bottom, Sheffield United, Leeds, Palace, West Ham, and West Brom. So even West Ham, not necessarily like according to the metric, meant to be doing next week. Who are they playing next week?
West Ham.
Yeah.
It's a good team.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Chelsea.
That's why. Because Chelsea's defense is so strong. And defensively, Brighton, Man U, Chelsea. Brighton, Man U, Leicester, Chelsea, Villa, and at the bottom, Sheffield United, Palace, West Ham, Newcastle, Burnley. West Ham not looking likely to do too well according to the metric next week. Okay.
I think that there's one more thing I think to notice is how high Chelsea are in attack.
Yes.
Their attack seems to be doing well. And, you know, just like it's an interesting conversation. If Kai Havertz has the kind of like the, he's not quite a nine, but nine, false nine. If he can hold down that spot, is he worth an investment?
Well,
given all of the other options in midfield, there's a lot of competition for...
He's a gamble, but credit to Siva on FPL Banger for calling Havertz out a few weeks ago, bringing him in and doing very well. So, you know, fair play. Again, maybe that's not so straight, clear cut as a Lingard as an Iheanacho, like I say, where I've clearly missed the bloody boat. But anyway... Let's see how we do. So we'll update this every week as we go. And clearly, we might see the beach effect starting to come into fact. So, okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to quickly, in fact, we'll maybe have a little bit more time here tonight because
I think,
the way the show's structured is
we're going to look. Ella is mentioning that Siva wasn't the only one talking about Havertz. And he's true that, yeah.
Who was?
Latriser is on the comments.
Late Riser, right? Good. Yeah, Late Riser, right? Fair enough. I know Siva did that. But yeah.
Yeah.
See, Late Riser will be picking that type of player anyway, won't he? but no,
He's in the chat, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah,
You see, I don't even have a chance to look at the chat. I'm too busy trying to think about when I'm going to get the Gareth Bale goal with Ibo on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my next plan. I've got to try and get that in. And so anyway, let's move on. So moving on to these specific matchups, where hopefully we're going to take your questions as we go. If you are holding out for a hero this week.
Yeah.
I'm looking for song lyrics now. Right, yeah. Let's keep going. Right. Oh, God. Right. Let's crack on, boys. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through these games. And, Surya, what I'd like you to do, if possible, is if you can gather up any questions relating to these five fixtures, and let's try and just, you know, just jump in and say, look, here's the questions. Let's see if we can answer them as we go. All right.
Yeah.
So let's start with Everton against Spurs. So Everton rank 3.5 in attack against Spurs defence 3.6. That's neutral. Spurs attack 3 against Everton defence 4. So that's positive for Spurs, but not that positive. Okay. So that's an interesting one. And I think that's, again, something which I think we might see going on. Clearly, Spurs have a double game week. So they're very high on everybody's thoughts, right? But, you know...
This just screams that, like, boring game, doesn't it?
It does a bit.
One of those coaching, tactical, just stalemates. Nobody really wants to do anything. Nobody wants to get embarrassed. Nobody wants a tough press conference, and they just kind of see out the 0-0.
I mean, the only thing I would say is neither defence is particularly strong. So there could be goals, but the trouble is Everton are missing Calvert-Lewin, aren't they? They're also missing, I think they're probably going to miss Alan. I think, is Alan still out as well? And he's a big, big effect for their defence. So
they've been ravaged by injuries for a long time. So I think that's why they're reeling. I think Ancelotti just kind of wants to see the season through. Everton could be a team on the beach.
Yeah. I mean, as for Spurs, we'll cover Spurs when it comes to the captaincy for sure, because that's where most of the discussion around Spurs is going to be. Obviously, sorry, if I'm on a fixture and there's something in there, just jump in, mate, okay?
Yeah, so I've got a couple for you guys, yeah.
Right.
One is Son to Bruno and Bruno back for Son in 33 is a good move, is one question. And there's another on if I couldn't afford Son, is Moura a good option to consider from Spurs? So these two stood out for me, yeah, so... it's basically Son for Bruno, and is more a good option to consider for game week 32 alone. Yeah.
Do you want to go first, Gabe, and then I'll respond?
Sure. So the Son to Bruno hokey-cokey is interesting. Obviously, you're getting the extra game, but Bruno's playing Burnley, right? And just don't take good assets out ahead of good fixtures is kind of the rule. So. So I would probably shy away from that one. And the other one, we know Sam from FPL Banger, he has Moura and he does not have Son. And he feels comfortable with that. I wouldn't feel comfortable with that at all. Lucas Moura he's a player where when the team really need him, right? Then, and they have nothing else. And Lucas Moura can step up. Otherwise, it's like he's a forgotten person. There are like two players on this team as far as attack goes. And if those two players aren't doing well, then maybe we'll show Lucas Moura a little love at the end of a game, and he will respond as he always has.
Yes,
I wouldn't feel comfortable with it.
But at the end of the day, mate, he's on the golf course, right? So because Mr. Bale's on the golf course with Hibbo here, something that snapped me golf club, but I'm trying to put it away now. Oh, that's it.
Sorry, Hibbo.
So, yeah, see you, Hibbo. No, Bale's on the golf course, right? Moura, I think if you wanted to treble up, if you wanted a bit of a gamble, maybe, might be talking about him a little bit later. I'm not sure he replaced Son, though. I tend to.
We have Jamie here in the chat, FPL Baker. He says he expects Mora to only start one. I don't know about that. He might start both, but just that uncertainty, if there is an uncertainty on that front as well, just does not make sense. Doesn't seem he's worth the transfer.
I've set them on the captain metric as 1.75, by the way.
Hmm.
That's what I'm looking at. That's something around 1.75, yeah. I think they're certainly not a. I mean, I think if you had a double game week with City now, I think you'd set him at one. I don't think you'd bother. Yeah. I don't think you'd bother giving him a rating, just a bump up.
Well, right? Then that begs the question, right? Just should you set all your City assets on a single game week at like 0.66?
Possibly. Yeah, it's entirely possible
instead of the one. That's something to think about.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Maybe I should do that with a metric before, you know, if you're going to move house in a minute, Gabe, I might quickly just adjust the metric. Good point. That's for next week. Next one, Newcastle against West Ham. Newcastle 3.1, improving. And not bad, actually, against West Ham 3.5. And West Ham attack 2.8 against Newcastle 3.6. So I think you've got possibly goals here. I see goals in this game. What do you think, guys?
What do you think, Surya?
Yeah, I think I'll stick with the FDR as well. So I think there should be a lot of goals in this game. And I think they're on the rise, and it should be an interesting watch to me.
Yeah,
definitely.
This reminds me a little bit of last week when we the West Ham Leicester game. Nima and I both thought there was goals there, and this again strikes me as one of those. And I think, interestingly enough, what we're trying to do on the Compass show now is we're trying to sort of like say, well, look, if you've got a ranking of one and two for defence, you know, does that mean you've got a X percent of a clean sheet? And the same way around regarding scoring 2.5 goals or more. So we'll see how that develops going forwards. If there's no questions on Newcastle and West Ham, we'll move on to Wolves.
I think they can go on. That's nothing.
We always come back to them later. Wolves against Sheffield United. So Wolves attack 3.8 now without Neto. So I'm going to have to change the show from Neto that haul back to net that haul. Sheffield United defence 7.2.
Broken metric.
Oh shit, aren't they? It's terrible. Poor devils. It must be awful. Sheffield United 5.3 attack. That might improve because McBurney's out. Apparently for the season now. That might improve now. Yeah, as we said about Binary Brewster, but flat bottom as well. The bottom in both. Wolves 4.3. This is an interesting one. Gabe. I'm not sure. I mean, someone might have there may be some Wolves defensive assets kicking around.
Yeah.
Who would be the best defensive asset if you were to pick one this week?
Saiz. It's not even close, is it? I mean, he has so many different ways to points. He's on some set pieces. He's got an insane header. He can collect bonuses. He sends crosses in. I think it's, and he's not that much more expensive than Cody, is he? What is he? The Saiz is what, 5.0 or 5.1?
Is it 0.1 more? I think
is it 0.1 more?
I think it was.
The Cody love is, unless you're out of cash and you absolutely can't afford it, the Cody love is a little surprising to me and a little confused by that. But honestly, this match doesn't really. I'm not really excited about any assets other than that one, other than Saiz or
I think
Wolves.
I'm going to watch synchronized swimming.
Yeah, I think someone mentioned Cody and Saiz both are the same price as well. Cody Rosen plays last night, and they're on the same price as well. And I would slide with Gabe. I think I have seen a few talk about Adama, but then that's his first goal in so many games, and I would rather term it as a fluke goal rather than something of his.
Yeah,
his
I mean, can we really be excited about Traore when he finally scored a goal because the goalkeeper just moved out of the way?
That's hard to give him much credit. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. That. Thank you, Ariola. You're a good friend of the Mariner this week. Yeah. Just to give people, the viewers, a little bit of an insight into what happened when I saw that. That was the first thing I saw on the WhatsApp group on the morning when I woke up. The phone flew across the room.
Yeah, I think someone mentioned Old Sheffield looks like another 0-0 game, and I think I'm sliding with that.
Nima and Hibbo were quite sympathetic. Not. Anyway, that just set the week off for me, didn't it? Let's face it.
There's actually a Fabio Silva shout in the chat, and I don't mind that shout. I kind of like what I've seen from Fabio Silva lately from the kid. I think he's got something.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that to me it's just not a game that I'm that interested in.
No.
I mean, I know there were talked up to bring people in because of the fixture swings, but we've seen how they're looking with respect to the matchups. It's not great. I think, yeah, if you've got one, fine, hold them for sure. But I'm not sure I'd be bringing someone in at this moment in time. Next one then, guys, Arsenal against Fulham. This is an interesting one. Arsenal 3.3 attack, Fulham 2.7. So that's a negative for Arsenal's attack. Fulham 4.4 against Arsenal 3.5. So that's a negative for Fulham's attack. Where's this one going? Is this going to be a cagey sort of fixture? Or is it just, so. Or are Fulham just going to go, do you know what? Bollocks, we're going for it here.
I think so.
But Luckman's out, isn't he? Luckman's out.
Mm-hmm.
David Luiz is out.
Fulham have to lose.
Any difference.
Fulham kind of have to go for it, right? A draw won't suit them. They don't have much to lose. So I think they're going to have to start pushing.
It'll be
interesting to see how Parker sets them up.
That could leave holes, you know, because they're not going to leave any holding midfielders, are they, or anything like that, for sure.
They're gonna send everyone, players that are holding and players that aren't holding. They're going to send to holding.
Oh God! It's just 2 points. 2 points between Fulham and West Bromwich Albion, and West Brom have a game in hand. So I think Parker has to go. Scotty has to go full all out, I think, against Arsenal. And like it or not, Arsenal are playing a Thursday game, and they might fancy their chances. They might be up against some tired legs, and maybe that's the chance for Fulham to get some hold on to some 3 points or hopefully a point. Enough of that.
There's questions here. Is Mariner wearing trousers? What's going on? Yes, I've got my shorts on, look.
I got a question for you guys. I think there's been some mention about Saka. Saka as an attacking asset against Fulham. So what do you think of that? In fact, he had a price drop last night, and he's 5.1. So he's a dead cheap asset at 5.1 million. So what your thoughts on that?
On Saka, I thought.
Yeah.
So Nihal is telling me that Arteta said that Saka is back from injury. Yeah, that's probably he had that price drop because he's been injured. Now, yeah. I want to see how I'd like to see how he comes back first. I certainly wouldn't bring him in for the match against Fulham. If he got red hot for a little while when he was kind of hitting the target with some shots. But he hasn't hit the target in a couple months now, or at least a month. So I don't know. Given that there's so much competition, like the midfield roster spots are in such high demand right now, there's competition for those spots. I don't know if I would go towards Saka.
I my view on him, I find him a bit wasteful, actually.
I think we've spoken in previous Nathan calls as well that he's taking his chances, but then he's finishing has been awful. And yeah, of course, he's an improving player. I think he should improve, but there's a lot of factors going on to it. And maybe tonight's team lineup should tell us something.
And what we can't forget is only a young lad. I think what we forget this sometimes with these players, with Greenwood and Foden and people like that, they're only kids.
Yeah, correct. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they're younger than my lad. It's ridiculous. You know this, and I think sometimes we do all forget these. We do forget these little factors, and they have to be managed, right? And anyway, the last one for this little bit is Manchester United 3.3 attack against Burnley 5.2. That's very positive. Burnley 3.7 attack against Manchester United 2.6. That's a bit closer than I thought it might be. I mean, but saying that, I cannot see anything but a quite comprehensive Manchester United win. Surya, do you agree?
Yeah, that's what someone mentioned. Do we swap Bruno for Son and get back? I'm strongly against that particular fight, because when Newcastle can hit past Burnley, I don't think United generally play well against Burnley. They and I think one thing that I would add as a Manchester United fan is that United would look to kill games at the earlier, so then they would go full blown out in the first 20-30 minutes, and if they could get those one or two early goals, and I think the door should open, because Pope has been not so consistent right through the season, and the Burnley defense has been shaky right through. So that's a good fixture to target, and so Bruno should come back with a big haul and to prove all of us that why he's the most owned player and the highest scoring player. That's my thoughts on that particular picture. Yeah.
I mean, one player who's been coming up, and there's a question from Nihal in the thing. I'm just seeing that one now. You know, is Bruno still the best United asset, Greenwood or Cavani? It's an interesting debate, because Greenwood's someone who I've got my beady eye on for next week.
Yeah.
Possibly. The only thing I would say is that their fixtures are okay for the next 2 weeks, and then they take a bit of a bit of a turn. So I'm not sure whether that's something I need to do something about. But I mean, I can't see. I mean, Bruno's looking like he's going to be. I mean, how many points is he on for this season?
He's way past 220, if I'm not wrong. So I think he'll try to finish as high as possible. Let me check how much points he's on for.
And I also think, I'm not sure, I mean, you can't really consider them in the same sort of the different brackets as well, aren't they? I mean, you know, you've got Bruno, you know, he's whatever, he's 11 something, and you know, obviously Cavani's in the sevens, and I think Greenwood's 7.0. You know, for me, I think Gabe's going to talk a bit about Cavani later on, I understand. But I mean, from my perspective, I really like the look of Greenwood. I think he's 2.1% owned last I looked.
Yeah, correct. We spoke as well last week, and we said we'll hold on for another week, and he did come on, gave an assist and scored as well. And he's more of a form player, and he's high on confidence, and I feel the Burnley game is more suited to Greenwood than Cavani, for the fact that Greenwood can dribble past those guys, but they are a bit physical, the Burnley defenders, and then that's a straight matchup with Cavani. So I would prefer Greenwood over Cavani if someone would ask me. But then and it is also one more thing that I would like to add is that Greenwood has done well against the big teams as well. So if you are on the lookout for if you're thinking that the fixtures might get tough, I think it's still a good player to buy, even if the fixture is turning. But of course, that's as Anne's pointing out, there's a lot that depends on the European tie. If they can kill it off early, if they can kill it off early. I would have loved to watch that game and then come on to net at all, but then
I agree.
Friday night deadline, and we couldn't do much about it. Yes.
No, I agree. Will you wait till next week? We're going to do the Compass show halfway through the week.
Yeah.
Nightmare, isn't it? But this is the question. You know, would you prioritize Jota or Greenwood this week? You know, again, it's. I think if you're going to bring Greenwood in, you've got to do it this week. I don't think you can do it next week.
Yeah, because the fixture,
fixtures then start to shift, right? Whereas Jota, I suppose, has some possibly some risk of some rotation. Whereas maybe Greenwood, I don't know, maybe doesn't. I mean, I'll you know, I'll defer to you, mate. You're the Manchester United fan. You know, I just follow Grimsby Town, who are complete crap.
Yeah, I think, but the fact is that there's equal amount of rotation because Liverpool are also out of Europe, and then they got the a Champions League place to prioritize now. So it's a balanced shout to be honest. But then I would stick with the metric, and I would stick with the matchup. The Burnley game looks too good to ignore. So if you are planning to get and you have the funds and the transfer to do it, I think I would bring Greenwood in for this week. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Welcome back, Gabe.
Can I say one quick thing? Thanks. I was thinking while I was dealing with the movers here. So I would rather bring in Greenwood this week than Lucas Moura.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Looking at the next two game weeks, you know, they both have two games, and I think Greenwood's upside is much higher.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's move to the second chunk. We start with Leeds against Liverpool. Leeds attack is 4.6 now, so that's dropping against Liverpool's defence 2.3. That's going to end in tears, isn't it? You can sense it. Liverpool attack 2.0 against Leeds 3.5. I mean, you know, that again suggests that it could be a bit of a long day for Leeds. But we know what happened last week, don't we? I don't think lightning will strike twice, though, guys. Gabe?
Mm-mm. No, I see a clean sheet for Liverpool. I love Trent Alexander-Arnold in this game. I think Liverpool are on the rise. Definitely a clean sheet.
I couldn't get him by 0.1.
I look.
Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. I mean, I've gone with Nat Phillips, quite frankly, because he's cheap, and then I'm keeping the money and deciding what to do with it later. But yeah, I mean, again, you know, if it wasn't a double game week, I know I'd be captaining, and it could end in tears because he's blanked for me five times this. He's blanked for me five times this season. But I would be going on Salah with you know, like without a heartbeat here. I really would. That would be me. Chelsea against Brighton. Now, you know, again, we talk about colours. This is quite green, really. So it suggests that it's two reasonable matchups, teams-wise. Chelsea attack 1.6, really strong now, second rank, against Brighton 2.4, which isn't bad defensively, and they're still doing okay, right? And Brighton attack 3.6 against Chelsea 1.5. So that's not so great. That's again, I've said this for the last 2 weeks, considering I own Aspilicueta. Are Chelsea going to get a clean sheet this week?
Yes, I say yes.
Right. I do hope so. I do hope Liverpool get one as well. I need some good luck in my life. But I mean, sorry, nothing to add on that one.
Yeah. I think that's a 0-0 game, if you ask me. Wilpen will be holding on to his clean sheet, hopefully. Yeah,
I think Chelsea kind of sneak it at 1-2-0.
I think 2-0. I think I put 2-0. I have to look back. I can't even remember what I put down in the predictions. And that's a good point, guys. Actually, if you want to have a bit of a laugh, go and check out the Compass Show on Tuesday, where Nima and I do predict the scores. In fact, you know, I think we got 3 correct results. Actual correct scores last week.
Gold medals.
Three gold medals we got. So that wasn't too bad, right? We got a couple wrong. Man City was one of them. But anyway, there we go. I think everybody got that wrong, right? The next one then, Spurs against Southampton. So the second game for Spurs. Spurs 3 against Southampton 3.5. Attack against defence. That's not that positive. Everyone's screaming at everybody saying that it's massively positive. Not according to the metric, it isn't. It's just a double game week. As far as I'm concerned, the thing which attracts me is just the fact that they're going to play 170 minutes, 160 minutes. Right? To me,
unless Southampton's defense of that FDR is on their way down, if it's on its way down because they're on the beach, then it could be an unattractive fixture.
There is that. And I think you're going to have a look at the Spurs players a little bit later, Gabe, aren't you? Maybe you've got something on that, but we'll save that. We'll save your thunder for that later anyway, provided you're not moving house at the time. Otherwise, God knows what we're going to do.
I know. We might have to get to that sooner.
We'll just have to put you on hold. Right. Next. Aston Villa against Manchester City. Aston Villa attack now, 4.3. Grealish possibly out for the season.
I feel that too. And Dean Smith is trying to hide it. That's my initial
thought. Dean Smith hides everything from FPL. You should know that by now.
Yeah, I think he hates Nethat Hall as well.
He does. So. He hates us all. He hates Nethat Hall. He hates everybody. I'm sure he does. Yeah. Hold on a minute, Dean Smith. You should be pleased. We shame Trezeguet into scoring twice because he made the Hall of Shame 1 week, and then the following week he scored two goals. There we go. That's what Nethat Hall does.
Yeah.
Right? Should be thankful.
FPL is known for shaming players into performance.
In a nice way.
Well, some people
do it in a nice
way. We do it in a nice way.
Nice way, right?
Others, not so nice.
Yeah. Dean Smith is troll of the season. Well, we will be having season-ending votes. We'll season also reward. Have the best and worst prediction for that hole. At the moment, Gabe's winning. Although Surrey is Pereira.
Hold on a second. Let's just hold off on that one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
FPL Escapades. Evening, lads. Have we discussed Surrey are not holding on to a certain defender yet? The answer to that is yes, mate. Quite a lot. Yes.
We're still discussing it as well.
Yes. Yes, we are. Yes. All right, and the last one for this, Leicester against West Brom. Leicester 2.9 attack, West Brom 3.7 defence, West Brom 4.8 against Leicester 3.2. So this is a local, it's an East Midlands, West Midlands derby. I think will be goals, I've got a feeling. Can't remember quite what I predicted now. I should really have had that list, shouldn't I? I should have been able to say what it is. I'll have that for next week.
Yeah.
Sack the host.
But I think this is the one fixture that I wouldn't read too much into the FDR because West Brom simply have to go for it, and that might open up both ends. So
as long as Iheanacho scores, I don't care. Quite frankly, I don't care what the score is. As long as Iheanacho scores, that's all I'm bothered about now.
Yeah. Someone did mention last week. Yeah, is the wildcard team too much of a template with a lot of people getting Iheanacho, Lingard, and stuff like that? And in fact, to be honest, those two are the players who saved my wildcard last week. And it's sometimes just go with the player in form, and they kept scoring. And there's talks about Vardy as well, and yeah, Vardy went missing last week too, and Iheanacho did his job, and his goals. Proved to us that it was a goal who's from a player who's in full of confidence. He took it, turned, and then showed it. Like it is a very good goal that showed something that the stats might miss. So I think that is goals, and I still firmly believe Iheanacho scores a couple more. Yeah.
I think it's actually quite an exciting time to wild card because we have the City assets are on their way down because they're being rotated much more than they were previously, and we have a plethora of midfielders to choose from, and you could go the full skinny mid, right? You could go with a bunch of little midfielders. You could go heavy up top. You could go Vardy and Kane up top. You could go TAA and Robertson. Like there's so many. I think. Choices right now that the combinations for a wild card could be very interesting with a lot of the template players as well. Of course, you need to have some.
So it's just a couple of questions come in for this section now. So I think we'll just cover those before we move on.
So
there was a couple of questions on the Chelsea game. Sorry, I see Chelsea.
I'm going to shoot that. So yeah. One was should we double up on Chelsea defense or get Saka for this week? So it's basically a question of whether should double up on Chelsea defense or not after what happened last week.
I mean, the metric would say yes, wouldn't it? the matchups would say yes. Personally, I'm not personally, the moment I brought Chelsea defender in, then they've stopped keeping clean sheets. So if I transfer one out, the answer is yes, bring them in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's, I don't know whether I would not spread my wealth around a little bit. I like the TAA shout. I think Shaw's still an excellent option. Masuaku in a couple of weeks is a great option, I think.
Yeah.
I think even on the other side, Sofal, since West Ham has gone to three at the back, Sofal is getting forward a lot more assists.
Yeah, I think he got the assist for Zizlinga's goal.
I think it's a good idea if you're going something like just on the budget end. So like Mendy, if we're including goalkeepers in it, Mendy and Rudiger. But as far as defenders go, I think I prefer the Liverpool double up, and the FDR I think would support that. The FDR in the coming weeks would support that.
I'm not sure my little ticker would take that. I'm not sure it would. Not the
I think a Robbo and TAA double up. I think could be really interesting. Really interesting differential for those chasing.
And Sean will be vindicated. Does he still have them?
Does he still have them? Knowing him,
yeah, he's such a even keel. He's still got his big at the back all five all season, right? Oh crikey. And the other one, sorry, was they were asking any, I don't know who it was, but there's any Chelsea rotation expected against Brighton.
I think it's Raj. I think he's asking rotation, and he's also asked whether to start Sanchez against Chelsea, the Brighton goalkeeper.
Martinez against Man City. Oh god.
Yeah, Martinez or Man City or Sanchez versus Chelsea.
Start Martinez, I say.
I'd start Martinez and go for save points.
I think that's what I would do. And of course, rotation is bound to happen. They are up against Real Madrid in the Champions League, and that is bound to be rotation. Yeah, so that speaks that you need to have a strong bench. But I would stick with you. I would rather go Martinez versus City and try to get those save points rather than go Sanchez and go Blanc. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So if there's no more questions on this, then we'll move on. If they're just general questions, sorry, we'll bring them in at the end, right?
Really, yeah, really quickly, there's a FPL Escapades asking, is Alonso worth a hold for one last week?
No, I think...
Did he play? I've not seen. I've been so busy at work, I didn't even see whether he played.
Midweek? Yeah, I've been busy with him.
Did you see? Can someone in the chat answer?
We used to think that Alonso would play against deep blocks, right? But that seems to have changed because he didn't play. And no, Alonso did not play midweek. It was Ben Chilwell played. Didn't have a great game.
The answer to that is I think I would hold him.
I agree.
Yeah, I think I'll hold it.
All right.
Okay, so let's keep moving. That was a good section. I enjoyed that, and I think it's quite a nice way of doing that, actually. Maybe a way we might want to consider doing it going forwards. So now we're just going to go into the routine stuff. We'll just try and cover these quite quickly. So we're now on Suchet watch for potato salad lovers everywhere, and Marin is on a diet, so he can't have potato salad anymore. So I'm not quite sure what I might have to change this.
Kale salad to
pumpkin soup lovers everywhere or something like that. I don't quite know anymore. Right, anyway, I'm fading away here. Right, anyway, so let's go into this week. Last week, I picked Lacazette, no headers, two goals. Gabe picked Gabriel, only because I think he couldn't think of anybody else, so he thought of someone with his same name.
He took his spread and didn't say anything.
And Surya, you continue to absolutely tear this section up. You picked Ruben Dias, he didn't even play.
He didn't play.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I have nothing to say that. I took Stones out time, brought Diaz in, Stones starts, and Diaz got benched. At least Leeds won. Yeah. So that's
well, what we're going to do. I've already seen one prediction coming into the comments. Give us who's going to score a header, boys. Tell us now. We'll shout you out on the show. Before we do that, I'm going to go with some notable matchups. Liverpool against Leeds, very positive, right? I think it was 4.7. Yeah. It is 4.7. Newcastle against West Ham, 3.4. Wolves, Newcastle, yeah. Wolves playing? Wolves against
Sheffield
United, 3.3.
West Ham against Newcastle at 3. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. West Ham, Newcastle as well, 3. I've copped my notes up as usual. And Burnley against Manchester United, 2.7. I've got West Ham playing Newcastle, Wolves. I've got them playing both. We're playing two games this week. West Ham are having a double game week. That'll be all right. We could catch them. But anyway, there we go. So that's the shouts. And let's see. First of all, let's look in the chats for a change. So we have Suchek. Well, what a surprise. He's due a goal, isn't he?
He's due a goal. He hasn't scored in a long time. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, we've got Jota. Interesting, because he has scored headers for Liverpool recently. Yeah. And he's actually
when certain players were ball watching, I think he scored a great header.
But what do you expect?
He held on to his header, I think.
We've got Edouard Mendy to score a header. What?
What's happening?
Is Baker pissed? Whereabouts is he watching from? What part of the world is he watching from? It must be beer o'clock there, wherever he is. Before we go on to any more, this is who I've picked. I've picked Nat Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Sure agrees. Yes,
I don't know why, because I've brought him in, so he's bound to block.
You brought him because you priced out of Trent Alexander-Arnold. Now you expect him to score a header. I think you're being too greedy.
There's method in my madness here. Right, and the method in my madness is Leeds are without Cooper.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And Trent Alexander-Arnold is now back in some form, and I think he might get some decent delivery. So that's why I've gone for Nat Phillips this week. And I see FPL Banger has gone for Nat Phillips. Nehal actually hedged his bets and went for Suchek and Phillips, which is fine, but that's not allowed. Take a fine, Nehal. No, you only have one.
It's potato salad, not steak and potato salad.
Absolutely, yes. It's steak and steak. Yeah, what? Yeah, yeah.
That's Diagne as well. Yeah, pretty decent
show. So anyway, Jamie's saying no subs. Aspie gets injured. What?
You can't say that. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Aspie gets injured. He goes in goal. But Aspilicueta might save a penalty then. That's the way. Perfect.
Yeah,
job done.
That's what'll happen.
Right. Let's face it. Right. Anyway. Right. Gabe, who have you picked?
Sadio Mane.
Good choice. I like that. That was my next choice, actually. That was my second pick. Soria?
I think I'm going to go Saiz.
That was my second choice.
I like it.
I'm going to jinx it for all. I can't bring in a Wolves defender, so I'm planning to jinx one most broad in Wolves defender. Yeah.
Well, no, I think Saiz is a good option, actually. So, anyway, I think he might come up again in a minute, actually. Right, okay. Gabe, as long as the movers don't turn up, would you like to explain who the Little Prince is this week?
Yeah, so the Little Prince, it was a little bit of a tough decision because I was going with one player, but then that player just didn't feel right because he felt almost a little bit too obvious. And then so this one player, since he's come to the league, I've been shouting his praises far and wide as United's best number nine, better than Rashford, better than anybody, Edinson Cavani. And I just think his maturity, I think Edinson Cavani is largely responsible for the kind of upturn in United. I think Ole deserves a lot of credit, but Cavani coming in, I think, has brought a professionalism to the team. And so it's just this kind of like heart pick that I see his influence on the team in so many different areas, on the field, off the field, the way he if there's a ball sent into the box, Cavani's getting there first. Cavani knows where the ball is going to be before it's crossed. And this is a guy with experience. Like, I've watched him Copa America. I've watched him everywhere. And I'm just a huge, huge fan. And while it was going to be Greenwood, Greenwood was a little bit too obvious choice. I went with, like, my heart, my South American brother, and the Uruguayan Edinson Cavani.
Yep. Just to let everybody know, I was moaning at you that you didn't pick Greenwood, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. Surely it has to be Greenwood.
Surely
Greenwood makes. Greenwood. Yeah. If you're going to bring a player in, I would bring in Greenwood over Cavani, but I may be taking a hit for Cavani just because he's the little prince, just for some fun this week. It would put me at a minus eight.
So, there's nothing wrong with taking hits. I've already took a minus eight. I took it on whilst Neymar was doing his transfer trends, I took a minus eight.
Cavani might be my minus eight just for fun, just because I think it'd be a lot of fun.
We need Joe on it. Where's Joe? Is he on? The hitman. We need to see how many hits he's going to take this week. He'll take a few, sure. We're going to give a little prince this week as well, just for a bit of difference. So I've gone for Ruben Saiss.
Ah, nice one.
And Surya, who are you going for? I never told you had to, so you've just got to think of one. I just thought.
So you put me in the spot right now.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for.
That's what you're here for. Yeah, but I've been lavishing praise on Greenwood, and even though he's an obvious pick, I think that matchup against that Burnley defenders really too hard to ignore. So I would go Greenwood as my little prince. Yeah.
Fair enough. So Greenwood, we'll let you off, since I didn't warn you that we were doing it. But that said. You know, I thought you could have been a bit more.
We have another.
United, I thought you could have been a bit more original, mate.
Mm-hmm. There's a United fan in the chat, Anand from the FPL Escapades. He's saying that Greenwood is rotation prone with Pogba playing ahead.
Yeah, and we've also got a shout out from Nihal for Luke Shaw. Good, because I own him. Ooh.
Great shout.
Yes, I like that because I've actually put him in my Fantasy Five this week, Luke Shaw.
Nice.
Actually, Little Prince Bamford. I've just sold him. That'll just be about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Shepherd out for Cavani is a good move, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Okay. Let's go on and crack on and get to this captaincy and see what's going on. So first things first, let's see how we did last week. Well, community poll, yes. Metric, yes.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Due to substitutes. That first playing player, which is the way, which is the rule that we're using, because we can't do anything else because it doesn't look at these things. But it did have Lacazette very high up there, and Lacazette returned with bells on, didn't he? The cat got it right as well, and I got Danny Ings wrong, and that was bad. I wouldn't have expected him to blank. I really wouldn't, but hey ho. Let's see what happens this week with the picks. Probably we're not done very well. I might let you pick it. So sorry, the power's gone off.
Later. Oh yeah, just the bombs is late.
Seriously, like the Blair Witch Project in there.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Right. There's always something going on. Where's the jackhammer game?
I don't know if you can hear the tape. There's like taping boxes in the other room behind me.
Yeah. The cat must be asleep somewhere. He's out the way. So anyway, let's have a look at where the metric and how the metric's doing. And look at this now. This metric is just going bonkers. 81% now.
Smashing it. 628 points.
628 points. 81 points. Average 16.5. Bloody hell.
I think the metric is going to score about 200 more points than me in captaincy.
Well, it's scoring. It's going to score more than me. That's a fact.
I might be number one in the world if I would have just followed the metric all season. Yeah. I think that's how far away I am.
Because Gundogan was my pick. And you know what? That is a prime example of over-bloody thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually shocked. I was just checking at the captaincy of the expectation mini league, and I opened your team and I saw Gundogan, and I was like, I couldn't believe my eyes for some time. But then, yeah, I think.
I mean, to be honest, mate, I think this is where, and I've just actually said to a couple of people, you know, the last couple of weeks, the mistakes are starting to creep in. And I think that might be the fact that it's just been such a long season. I'm not making excuses because you make mistakes.
Yeah, I stand up
and hold my hand up and say I made mistakes. And that was a mistake.
Yeah.
That said, it wouldn't have made the blindest bit of bloody difference because I was only going to, I would have probably gone, with Kane anyway.
If you stick to Lacazette, I think that will work with wonders.
Maybe we've just got to follow the metric. But anyway, it's doing pretty well. So let's now look at the cat pick. And what we did with this week, again, we put two polls out. We put an eliminator out for Spurs, and Kane got 74% or 75% of the vote. Son got 14% of the vote. Moura got a bit, and so did Reguilón, just to make up. And that was 533 votes. So look how clear, even, you know, Son over Kane over Son, it was so obvious. And then I took Kane and put the other options in, and Kane won even more. He won even higher, 86%. That's the highest I think we've seen all season.
What I found surprising in the second poll was that Lingard has more than twice the votes of Salah and Bruno.
Put together, they don't make it.
Sure.
I think at the beginning of the season, if someone would have told me Lingard would be this big of an FPL asset, I would have joked.
He's probably the biggest shock.
Yeah, I think he's on an ownership of upwards of 30%, and then it's like really shocking. So much shocking. And then, yeah. And there's rumors that Arsenal are in for him, or West Ham are in for him. I think it makes sense. Yeah.
So let's crack this cat pick and see who this fool's picked this week. So he was given a choice of Kane, Lingard, and because Son was so high, I actually put Son in the end because I buckled to the choice. So let's see who this fool picks this week.
I want to be fun. Wow.
The cat picked Lingard. He was hungry again, wasn't he? By the way, in order, he picked Lingard, Kane, and then Son. In about 10 seconds. It didn't take him long to eat those, I'll tell you. So, right, let's keep going, boys, because we need to crack this captaincy metric out the way. So this is the big reveal for the captaincy metric. I bet this is fairly obvious. But not that obvious. Kane, but look at the only thing that has done put Kane at the top there is the double game week. Nothing more. Put it in context to last week, as we said, Kane this week is on 84, right? Topping it. Last week, KDB was on 85 for one game. Right? Mahrez 83, Laka 78 for one game.
Yeah.
Okay. So KDB was a stronger pick based on one game than Kane is basis two. But this is where the but comes in. As people probably know, this metric works on rotation. And unfortunately, Son misses out because of the rotation. But to let you all know, it also removes Bale, who was above Son, because this works on 12 game weeks. But clearly that's bullshit, right? Because golf clubs are out. KDB was also outside the rotation this week, as was Gundogan, as was Mahrez, and Son had a ranking of 80, just to let you know. So he would have sat about sixth or seventh if we put them all in. But
well, at a ranking of 80, he'd be in that mix.
No, because Bale 84, KDB 83, Gundo 82, Mahrez 81.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they push him down. Interesting.
Yeah. And the reason for this, and again, before I let you loose, Gabe, on this section, Kane, the average fixture is 105.1. So that's not that high. His form, 6.36. But by the time you put the multiplier in, it's what, 11.13. He's had two occasions of two returns and six occasions of one return. Okay. He's 49.7% owned. He's going to be massively captained. I don't know whether there's been rumors this could be a record this week.
I wouldn't be surprised.
With respect to EO, it could be enormous. I'm not overthinking this one. Okay. I'll quickly talk about the other two. Jesus has a better fixture. Worst form, one occasion of two returns, six occasion of one, 27% rotation. He was rested, wasn't he? 3.1% owned. And Lingard, who is third, fixture 104.5, about the same as, pretty much the same as Spurs. Form better, 6.84. Four occasions of two plus returns and seven of one return in the last 12. He's gone up from 19.3 to 26.1% in the last week from my
44% note. 44% haul percentages shoots him up there.
It's
huh?
outrageous. I mean, we know where he's going to be in a few weeks if they get a good fixture.
Yeah.
We just know where he's going to be. And, you know, I've got Salah and Bruno's numbers as well. We'll very quickly run through them. Salah, fixture's best matchup. Salah's got the best matchup. His form's okay, but his returns are not. That's why Salah drops down. He's only got one occasion of two returns, five of one return. That's the reason why. And Bruno's fixture's nearly as good. His form's okay. He's got two occasions of two plus returns, six occasions of one. It's owned by 57.6% now. Madness. Crazy numbers. And of course, there's a Europa tie coming up. So look, what I will say to everybody, I've gone through that quite quickly because I want to give Gabe the floor to talk about the Spurs side of things. Gabe, do you want to share your screen? Because I've not got your screen yet. So if you pop your screen up just whilst I'm messing about. And just to explain, guys, I will put this onto Instagram as well, so you'll be able to see the metric in its glory, and you'll be able to hopefully pick your choice. We'll just gather our thoughts for a couple of seconds, Gabe, if you hold on.
Yep.
Okay, Gabe, over to you. Son,
you're good to go.
Is he a viable alternative?
A lens for the sun. So this is, I didn't put any identifiers on this heat map. For those in the podcast, this will be listening in the podcast, this might be a little bit difficult. I'll try to explain it as best as possible and as quickly as possible in the interest of time here. So I'm showing two heat maps side by side. It's a passes receive heat map. So this is where the players are getting the ball on the field. And these two heat maps actually look quite similar. There's a lot of activity on the left side of attack. They're receiving the ball right where the halfway line meets the sideline in the attacking half. And then there's some activity central as well. Just to give you an idea, this is obviously what I'm trying to do here is make the impossible case for Son. You know, I started out with this not believing in Son at all. I think Kane is the obvious captain choice. I don't think you should overthink it. But is there any hope here for people looking for a little bit of differential while still, you know, staying within the double game week? So based on this passes received, we're looking at like a pretty similar kind of production from the two as far as where they're receiving the ball. So this is actually the game week 31 match versus United. I chose this match because I thought it would be somewhat similar to the Everton match, in the sense that I do expect Ancelotti to play with six defenders. I think it was late riser actually earlier in the chat that was saying that Everton are basically playing with six defenders. I think Ancelotti is going to set up kind of the same way in that first match. So it'll be kind of a difficult task, similar to the one United. We have Son on the left and Kane on the right. The first one is successful passes in the final third. Against United, Son did not err on any passes in the final third. We see all of the dots there are green, and there are quite a few of them. So we can see how important he is to this team in the attacking third. And then we compare it with Kane, right? Kane has four successful passes in the final third and three errant passes in the final third. Really very little involvement against deep blocks like this, or at least against tactic. I don't even want to say deep blocks because Kane is very involved against deep blocks. It's more against tactically astute opposition. I think I'd characterize it that way because as tactically astute opposition can game plan to take Kane out of the game. And I think that's exactly what Ancelotti is going to do here. We see the next heat map is the XG shots. Kane has three shots, had three shots in this game against United, only one of them in the box from a very acute angle, and then one from just outside the box, but pretty far on the right side, and then one from pretty far outside the box. Very low XG shot, where we see Son, all his shots, four shots in the box, one of them pretty decent XG, really just more involved against teams who set up well tactically. Now we go to the other game I took a look at was the Crystal Palace game. Again, likening it to the Southampton. Obviously, Southampton's a much better team than Crystal Palace. But if I'm looking at like Southampton somewhat on the beach versus Crystal Palace, could be kind of similar. Again, the passes received heat map. Son is just way more involved in the action there. We see he's receiving more passes. He's receiving them from different areas of the field. He's got them wide. He's got them in the inside, the left inside channel, and in the center of the field. Kane is receiving them as deep as Son. Son has some passes that he receives in his own half, but mostly around that center circle area. But we see the middle area for passes received for Kane. He's not receiving passes kind of really in the middle of the field by the box, which for me is a concern. And then again, we turn to the XG shots here in this match. It was flipped. So Kane was much more in the box. He had one excellent chance, which he converted. We see the big kind of the big green circle indicating a high XG chance inside the six. But his other shots, and Kane hauled in this game. I think he got 17 or 19 fantasy points in this game. But we see what those points came from. They came from only one high XG shot, a big chance there, and the rest is very low XG shots. And we compare it with the game with United, again, very low XG. Now, it's hard to knock Kane for that because this is what he's known for. He's known for just putting away shots. The way he kind of leans into shots and almost shoots on the run, I think takes goalkeepers by surprise, and he can really find the corner. So he doesn't need much. But if you are looking for the lens to support Sana's captaincy, I think these are the kind of things you're looking for. So that's from kind of like a tactical perspective. And then lastly, I have three major points that I think could be considered, could be used as supporting evidence for Son captaincy. And here they are. Number one, Son has 9 double-digit hauls this season compared to Kane's 7, despite playing 200 fewer minutes. If we're looking at captaincy or triple captaincy, we're looking for those double-digit hauls, especially that triple captaincy. We really want to fly with it. And I don't think anyone thinks Son will blank, so I think his floor is quite high as well. Number two, Kane is a flat track bully that feasts on those on weaker prey. United slides show Son is better versus more challenging opposition. So we saw in the Son is probably better again in the Everton match. We would think Kane as a flat track bully would be better in the Southampton match, but he will have to convert low XG shots, and he will have to contend with point number three. which is that Southampton have conceded the third most chances from the right side, 109 this season, while conceding the third fewest chances from the center of the field, 68. It's a delta of 41 in favor of Son's side of the field. So I think there is a case for Son. And that being said, I don't know if I can, I don't know if I, if I'm going to go away from Kane, but if you are, if you're looking for something else, I think it's there. There's an argument to be made. And I didn't think there would be one. I surprised myself last night. I sent you guys that text. Like, I can't believe it. I found it. It was like finding a little treasure somewhere, that the lens for someone other than Kane.
Okay, is that it, Gabe? You finished?
That's it. I'm finished.
Right. Hang on a second. Right, cool. Fantastic. So, yeah, any questions for Gabe on that?
Yeah, I think that's the one that we've spoken in the beginning of whether is it okay to bring do Son for Bruno and Bruno back to Son. I think I would bring that back to Gabe so that he could wind it up nicely for us. Yeah.
That's the tough question, isn't it?
Yeah, that's tough. And I
still, I don't know if you are, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think that's, it's so tight. It's so tough. Here's how I would answer that. It depends on the rest of your team. And if you have fire or you have other plans moving forward, then this could delay those plans. Maybe they're well-made plans, well-thought-out plans that you don't want, that shouldn't be delayed. But if you are just sitting pretty and you're looking to roll a transfer and you're not sure what to do and you like your team, maybe you just recently wildcarded. There are so many people that recently wildcarded. I think that Hokie, yeah. So for people that have recently wildcarded, they can, and they're maybe thinking of holding that transfer, then I think the Hokie Cokie could be something, could be kind of like a star you could hold on to get you ahead.
Yeah, the Hokie Cokie. Is it interesting?
In this country, it's the Hokie Pokie.
But... Yeah, Joe called it the Hokie Pokie when I was talking to him on WhatsApp earlier on. He's going to do a Hokie Pokie, I think. He's quite convinced he is. So,
yeah.
But, you know, that's the hitman for you. He loves that sort of stuff. FPL Escapades. KDB out for Son, Gabe?
Yes.
That is something that could work.
I just don't think you can. Again, if we adjusted all City's numbers for two-thirds, but, you know, just to expect they're going to play a maximum of 60 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's about all we can probably predict. So yeah. I think we'll do that for next week.
Next week.
So, okay. Right, let me just add myself back in again. So anyway, last week for the captain differential, I went for Danny Ings. So this week I'm holding myself back from a single game week. Sorry. I'm going with Lucas Moura. There we go. So there we are. So I've been affected by listening to the FPL Banger podcast this morning. On the train.
Sam.
All Sam's fault. So if it goes wrong, I'm blaming. So if it goes wrong, I'm blaming Sam. off FPL. I mean, I looked at his numbers. His numbers aren't great, but he's, you know, for per 90 minutes played, you know, 71% goal involvement. It's not too bad. Expected clean sheets 40.9. Okay, right. There's a possible extra point there if you were captaining him. Expected points 4.77, not great. Hub stats 0.12 XG, 0.21 XA per 90, times by 1.75, 0.58. Not too bad.
That's not bad.
So, yeah, let's give it a go. It's a bit of fun. We've also got, so we've got, what have we got? Have we got anyone else? Differential captain in here from Escapades is Ndombele.
Ndombele.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Any other differential caps, guys? Shout them out. I'll give you a shout. BM said Dallas. That's an interesting one. Lightning can't strike twice. It can't, can it?
No.
Trent Alexander. And Nihil says Trent Alexander. No, I think That's a good shout.
That's a nice shout. Yeah, that is not a bad shout. Maybe Robertson. I could have bought Robertson in, you know, and I didn't because I looked at his numbers. They're just and again, there we go. Mariner's looking at numbers again. But I just thought. That actually makes sense
because Mane has been poor the whole season. Yeah. And that left side has been lagging. I've been telling this for some time, and Robertson doesn't overlap that much with Jota in play. So it makes sense that you went Nat Phillips and saved the money rather than go for Robertson. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so.
we'll see that. We'll see that. Yeah, hopefully.
let's see how that goes. But no, anyway, so that's where we are with the captaincy, guys. And just we've got 5 minutes before we wrap up because we've all got things to do both tonight and tomorrow. So short but sweet tonight. But hopefully you've enjoyed it and as much of a laugh as we have as usual. The community poll went for Kane. The metric went for Kane. The cat pick went for Lingard. We'll see whether he's right or not, or whether he's a pair of slippers next week. And the differential is Lucas Moura. So that's where we are with respect to the show. We've got literally a couple of minutes to take a couple of questions. So if you want to get in fast, because if not, we are going to get out of here.
Here's one. I got one from Yaktaran Al-Rawahi. Who to start, Sufal or Dallas?
Sufal or Dallas? Do you know, I think Liverpool's defence has improved somewhat. I can't see Lightning striking twice. I'd go Sufal. That's my perspective. It's going to hurt me. You know what happens because Dallas. It doesn't matter anyway. You don't need to start Dallas. Just leave him on your bench. It's no problem. He'll come on anyway.
I'll get in there. That's right. I agree. So
let's start there. There's the last rant for the night. Anyone who, honestly, that was the thing which finished me off. DCL not turning out finished me off because all those Dallas captains, all those Dallas benchings, all just finished my rank off this week. Oh God, Baker! If you had to describe your captaincy choice as a vegetable, what vegetable would it be? Here we go. What's that sour shit which you get in the Philippines? What's it called? What's it? You must know. Oh God, I forgot.
You got 3 minutes and you're stressing upon it.
I should know this. It can't be because durian's not a vegetable.
I'm gonna go with broccoli.
Broccoli. Why?
Because it's what you have. It's the same as the apple, man. You have to go with Kane just because it's good for you. It's good for everybody else. It's unexciting, but eat your damn broccoli. You got to do it. You just got to do it. Yeah. Broccoli.
Well, mine's gonna be Brussels sprouts.
I think you'll get that this question.
I've been full of hot air for the entire season, and now it's all going wrong. Now it's all going to shit.
So, a few more.
Is it sinigang? That's the dish, I think. Sinigang, isn't it? That's not the vegetable. It's something else. But no, I'm going to go for Brussels sprouts, mate. Come on, Surya.
Yeah, a few more. Rudiger double defense versus Saka.
Hey.
Rudiger.
Yeah, what's your vegetable?
Vegetable. That's disgusting. Never mind.
Must be a vegetable.
He's moving on to the questions. We got a few questions coming in.
Sorry. Yeah. If Spurs has to win game week versus Everton, he wouldn't be a top pick.
I didn't even hear you.
Agreed. He wouldn't be a top pick if he didn't have a double game week.
Yeah. Then for the question, there's a lot of vegetables over here.
Everyone hates rhubarb. So yeah, that's not a vegetable; it's a fruit.
Yeah.
Rhubarb is I don't know. It's tart.
Yeah, a lot of these names I'm hearing is the very first time, so I have no idea. And then that's the question of hold Saka or move the Jota for a hit. I think that should be the last one.
Hold Saka or move Jota for a hit.
Move to Jota for a hit.
Yes, I agree. For sure. And there's the one last question. Son long-term hold after the double. Yes, for me.
Yeah, they have a very good... I think it's Leeds and Sheffield United, right? After they blanked in 33. So I think he's a hold for me as well. Yeah.
Okay, right. That's it. Let's get out of here, boys. Thank you, Jamie, for the question, as always. We always expect something from you, mate. It's always... it always causes some mirth. I think the Brussels sprout one might actually make it onto the clips for the show. But anyway, right, boys. Surya, thank you so much, mate. You now need to go for a work call, as I understand.
Yeah. I got some pretty stuff to
Gabe. Gabe, your entire life's in boxes, but you've still
in boxes, upside down, in three different houses.
You've still made time for us. You're holding on till the grim. To the bitter end, right?
That's right. I'm holding on to the night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right then. Okay. Let's get out of here, boys. As always, guys, if you enjoyed this show, please give us a like. Please give us a subscribe. Please hit the bell for notifications on YouTube. If you're listening to us, you'll find it, or hopefully you're listening to us, you'll find us anywhere where you can get your pods. And please leave us a nice review, because that's always good at the start. Nima's done a cracking job promoting the pod. That's another way forward for us. We are quite visual. So it is sometimes a case of having to come and look at the YouTube. But if you want to do that, then just find the timestamps. I think that is about it. I think it's about time we got out of here, boys.
Yep.
So the best of luck for the weekend. The best of luck, everybody, for the weekend. I hope my game week is better than last week. Otherwise, you probably hear the scream from wherever you are in the world, because I wasn't a happy chappy last week. But anyway, I'm in a good mood now. So have a great weekend, boys. All the best. Green arrows. And let's net that hole.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys. Yeah. Okay.